Good morning, this is London. I'll be reading the Decatur Herald and Review, Part 1 for today, Tuesday, February 13th, 2018. We're going to begin on the front page, and our first article is going to be out of the education area. It's titled Partnership Renews Adult Ed Programs. It is submitted by Valerie Wells of the Herald and Review and comes to us out of Decatur. Consortium offers various opportunities to fill learning gaps. During the 2 years that Illinois operated without a budget, services throughout the state suffered, among them public education. One of the casualties of that time was the Adult Education Department in Decatur School District, which was halted in May of 2017 after months of decreasing and uncertain funding, in spite of then Executive Director Rocky Wilkerson's efforts to fill the gaps with grants. Adult education is overseen by the Illinois Community College Board, and in Decatur, the fiscal agent was the Decatur Board of Education. The partnership with the Decatur schools, Wilkerson said, allowed for service to an entire family, from the children entering preschool and kindergarten to the parents who might require a helping hand to complete their own education and get job training. The need, however, is still very much an issue, and now Richland Community College and Workforce Investment Solutions have created the Richland Workforce Consortium to fill that need. "We are partners now," said Lisa Manalise, Adult Education Transition Coordinator for Richland. "The consortium means money because the whole overreaching goal of this partnership is to help people get what they need, whether it means education, skills, training, academics, employment training, to get them working. To be eligible, adults must meet certain criteria: unemployed, underemployed, no high school diploma or equivalency, or on government assistance. Adults can apply to be part of the program at Workforce, Richland, or at the Decatur Public Library," Menelise said. "Classes available include English as a second language, preparation for the high school equivalency credential, bridge classes that will help adults improve academic skills and learn job skills, adult and family literacy, and on-site basic skills and workplace literacy skills. If students want to move on to post-secondary training, the partnership is set up to guide them through that process too. The consortium is using two classrooms at the Decatur Public Library," Wilkerson said, "and educators plan to use room dividers to make a third classroom. The classes are free to eligible students, and with Workforce and Richland's involvement, opportunities to enter construction trades and apprenticeship programs are available. Claudia Williams is teaching the hospitality bridge, which is twofold. She helps students improve reading and math skills, whether they need to earn their high school equivalency, or it's just been a while since they sat in a classroom and they want to brush up. About half of her students fit into each category. The other half of the class is helping them learn to write resumes and interview skills, mostly focused on the hospitality field. They get first aid and CPR training," she said. "They get their food handler's certificate. We bring in the University of Illinois Extension people and they train them. We have guest speakers come in from a variety of hospitality businesses. We take field trips, like we're going to go to the Decatur Conference Center, and there we're going to see all the aspects of how a large hotel runs." For years, Wilkerson said, adult education was available in several forms from the Regional Office of Education, Richland, Workforce, and Decatur Schools. The consortium consolidates all of those programs, making the process more streamlined. "It's all here in the library, centrally located, for free, thanks to this Illinois Community College Board Adult Education Family Literacy Grant," Wilkerson said. And the Richland Workforce Consortium. For more information, you can contact area code 217-875-7217. 7215 11, extension 6355. And that does conclude that article. Continuing on the first page, we are going to have an article titled Hanging Up Her Whistle, which is submitted by Mark Tupper for the Herald and Review and comes out of Decatur. Karen's to retire from coaching, staying at Milligan. She took the job at age 21, and after 32 years as Milligan University's head women's basketball coach, Lori Karen's is stepping down. But while she is retiring from coaching, she is not leaving Milligan. Karen's, 54, said Monday that she will become Milligan's Director of Alumni Engagement. She'll coach the remaining three games this season before beginning her new role on March 19th. Her final game on the Milligan sideline will be at 7 p.m. Tuesday, February 20th, against North Park. The game at Milligan's Griswold Center will be the final game for the Big Blues' six seniors, as well as Karen's coaching farewell. Karen's said she has been kicking around the idea of making a change since November, and with the help of Milligan President Patrick E. White, she decided this was the right plan. "You just kind of know," said Karen's, who led the Big Blue to the most successful season in Milligan sports history in 2004-2005, when the school went 29-2 and won the Division III national championship. "It's not that I don't love it or that I don't love these kids, because I do, but you just feel it in your bones and spirit that it's time for something different. So I made the decision that this would be my last year of coaching." She leaves the gym as Milligan's all-time winningest coach with a 555-274 record. In her 32 years, she had 24 winning seasons. In 13 of those seasons, she won at least 20 games. Through last season, she ranked 11th nationally among active Division III coaches in career wins. And while those victories will help define her career, she never dwells on them. "I can tell you stories about everyone who played here in 32 years," she said. "It's the players, the relationships. That's what I'm all about. But I cannot tell you when we won championships." Remaining with Milligan was an easy decision because she's been a part of the university community for nearly 40 years. First as a student who graduated in 1985, and 1 year later as the women's head basketball coach. Twice she served as the school's director of athletics and also held roles as the dean of students, vice president for student development, director of the wellness center, and when she was first hired as live-in residence hall director. She has also become a community icon, a two-time breast cancer survivor, a crusader for Special Olympics, former race director for the Rodney Miller Lakeside Triathlon, current chair of the HSHS St. Mary's Hospital Board, and a member of the Milligan Athletic Hall of Fame and the Decatur Athletic Council Hall of Fame. Her 2005 team was inducted into the Illinois Basketball Coaches Association Hall of Fame, and later this year, she will be inducted as a coach. While winning seasons have been a hallmark of her career, winning has been more difficult in recent seasons. After going 14-11 in 2014 and 15, Milligan suffered through losing seasons the next 2 years, and the current team has a 7-15 record, even though it has won its last two games and is preparing to play at Illinois Wesleyan on Wednesday. Karen's informed her team of her decision at 7 a.m. Monday. "It went good," she said. "I practiced and practiced what I was going to say, and I was quite convinced I wouldn't cry. Then as soon as I walked in and started crying, I told them I loved them, what my next move was, and that I was staying at Milligan. They didn't say very much. I don't think they thought it was coming." Milligan Athletics Director Craig White said he will begin a search for Kieran's replacement immediately, and he expects to have a new coach in place in a timely fashion. and then a recap of her dream season, 2004-2005. Record 29-2. NCAA tournament scores. Second round, Milliken 67, Washington U 58 at the Griswold Center. Sectional semifinal, Milliken 59, Wisconsin Stout 56 at Calvin. Sectionals final, Milliken 63, Calvin 56 at Calvin. National semifinal, Milliken 66, Southern Maine 60 at Virginia Wesleyan. And the national championship, Milliken 70, Randolph-Macon 50 at Virginia Wesleyan. And a few reflections. This is from Patrick White, president of Milliken University. For 32 years, Lori has been the embodiment of what we value at Milliken University. The impact she has made in Decatur and Macon County, and her passion to help students succeed on the court and in the classroom, has made a lasting mark on the Milliken community. She will continue to make a positive difference in people's lives in the local community and beyond. We look forward to her new role at Milliken. And from Craig White, Director of Athletics, Milliken. Coach Kearns has meant a great deal to Big Blue Athletics during her 32 years of coaching. She and the women's basketball program have had many great accomplishments, including winning Milliken's only team NCAA national championship. I understand and support her decision to take on a new position, and I am excited she will be continuing with the university in a role that will benefit Milliken and Big Blue Athletics. And from Julie Rowe Locke, Deputy Commissioner, Horizon League, and former Blue basketball player. There's a book called The Generosity Factor, and it talks about how you want to live your life with significance more than focusing on success. To me, that's how she has modeled her life and continues to do so. She's constantly giving. She's a rock star. No matter what she does, she'll be awesome at it. And finally, from Becky Clayton, former Sullivan High School star and Milliken player. I know three of those 32 years this amazing woman put up with me, and this was the worst me. I was reeling from losing my mom. She was supportive, patient, and understanding. She was more than just a coach. She was more than just a friend. That concludes that article. Next, I'll be moving into the local and state, and the first article is titled Ives Pledges to Lead Revolt. This is submitted by Ryan Voiles for the Herald and Review and comes to us out of Decatur. Highlights Rauner's shortcomings in Decatur. State Representative Jeannie Ives was welcomed in Decatur on Monday by a one-time supporter of Governor Bruce Rauner as she focused squarely on the economic message she hopes will help her defeat the first-term governor in the March 20th primary election. The Wheaton Republican told nearly 20 people who joined her stop at Strip Master Services Incorporated that she would lead a revolt against the state's political leadership and repeatedly criticized Rauner for not doing enough to stop the outflow of residents and jobs from Illinois. In December, the U.S. Census Bureau reported Illinois fell from the fifth most populous state to the sixth. Ives' message rang true for Strip Master's owner Mark Scranton, a former Rauner supporter, who gave Ives and about a dozen other people a tour of his facility, which offers industrial powder coating, painting, blasting, and burn-off services on the city's northeast side. "Right now, I do not want another 4 years of what I've seen the past 3 years," Scranton said, "because I've seen zero improvement, and I'm really disappointed because the governor said he was going to go out on his own dime, fly everywhere in the country, in the world, and bring jobs to Illinois, to Decatur, and I have not seen any evidence of that." Scranton noted that Rauner has made appearances at Strip Masters as a candidate and as governor, in which he promised to shake up Springfield and reduce regulatory burdens on small businesses, But entering the final year of Rauner's first term, Scranton said he has yet to see those promises fulfilled. Ives' visit to Stripmasters was part of a day-long tour of Decatur, which included stops at the Downtown Cafe, Caterpillar Incorporated, and the Decatur Club. With just over a month before the primary election, Ives repeatedly positioned herself as the Republican candidate able to work with lawmakers to pass legislation, but also willing to turn up the heat when necessary. "We are going to hold politicians accountable for their votes, relentlessly. If they want to work with us and bring back business, we're happy to do that," Ives said. "If they do not want to do that, we will go around them and go right to the people and inform them on policy. In addition to making changes to workers' compensation to lower the cost for employers, Ives said lawmakers need to do more to reduce taxes on businesses and residents. Last summer, the state personal income tax was increased from 3.75% to 4.95% as part of the state budget. For corporations, the income tax was raised from 5.25% to 7%. Rauner has talked about rolling back the tax increase incrementally, but Ives said she takes a more realistic approach and first needs to prove the state can do without the new revenue, expected to be $4.3 billion annually. "I am going to need to prove it first that we can do without that money, so I plan to budget to lower the number," she said. Ives did not broach, nor was she asked about, a controversial ad her campaign launched earlier this month, which liberal groups called racist and homophobic, and even some Republicans called an unnecessary distraction. The ad features actors portraying, among others, a transgender woman, an African-American Chicago Teachers Union member, and a woman wearing a pink hat associated with women's marches. Each of them thanks Rauner for his policies. The three-term lawmaker has previously said the edgy ad shows what the policies look like on the ground. For Scranton, though, the gubernatorial race comes down to who can help best drive Decatur's economy forward. "We need job growth, and we need the state to do what they promised to do to help businesses with job growth," Scranton said. And that does conclude that article. Continuing in state and local, our next article is titled "More Legionnaires' Cases in Quincy." This comes out of the Herald and Review out of Quincy. There are two more laboratory-confirmed cases of Legionnaires' disease at the Illinois Veterans Home in Quincy, the Illinois Department of Public Health said in a statement Monday night. "Both residents are at the facility and are doing well," the agency said. "An investigation is underway to identify where the residents may have acquired the bacteria." After learning of the cases, engineering staff immediately removed faucets from the residents' rooms and collected water samples and mixing valves to analyze for the presence of Legionella bacteria, according to the public health statement. Staff also increased water temperatures and flushed fixtures to provide an enhanced level of protection for residents. 13 residents of the Veterans Home have died of Legionnaires' disease since 2015. The first outbreak in 2015 killed 12 and left dozens more ill. There have been subsequent outbreaks in each of the following 2 years. 5 people were sickened in 2016. In 2017, 6 fell ill, and it contributed to 1 death. Legionnaires' disease, a severe form of pneumonia, is caused by bacteria that grows in warm water. It is suspected those who became ill in Quincy have inhaled the bacteria through various water sources, like showers and sinks. The 132-year-old facility in some places has galvanized pipes that are more than a century old, which is likely where the Legionella bacteria lurks. Governor Bruce Rauner, who spent a week living in the facility, has announced plans to make major upgrades to its plumbing. U.S. Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois, who originally called for the facility to be closed, has since pledged to leverage Federal Veterans Administration funding to help. And that concludes that article. In State and Local, our next article is Owner Defends Care Given to Dog. This is submitted by Tony Reed for the Herald and Review and comes out of Decatur. Man charged after animal froze to death. A Decatur man charged with allowing his dog to freeze to death said Monday that he had done his best to take care of the animal despite not having a permanent place to live himself. Shamar Q. Dawson, 23, told the Herald and Review he is not trying to evade responsibility for the fate of the dead pit bull named Mary Jane, who was found frozen to death in her doghouse on January 9th. At the end of the day, they, my pets, are my responsibility, said Dawson. But anybody who knows me knows how I felt about them. I do not have kids, but they are like my kids. A public defender was appointed to represent Dawson when he appeared Friday in Macon County Circuit Court for preliminary hearing. Dawson's attorney could not be reached for comment on Monday. His next court date is March 6th. Dawson, who said he has not entered a formal plea on a Class A misdemeanor charge of animal cruelty, said Mary Jane and his other pit bull, G, were both being looked after by a friend. G is still alive. He said the friend agreed to care for the dogs because Dawson encountered difficult financial circumstances, had to move out of his home, and was moving between different addresses. But he said any idea that he just turned his back on the animals is wrong. You ask anybody who knows me. I want to check on those dogs at least once and sometimes twice a day, he said. There have been some days when they ate and I did not. That is no exaggeration. Macon County animal control officers have said Mary Jane had been dead for 2 weeks. Temperatures during late December and early January had dropped well below freezing each night, hitting a low of minus 16 degrees on January 1st, according to data from the National Weather Service in Lincoln. Dawson disputed that the dog had been dead that long. It had not been 24 hours, a complete day, since I had last checked on her. I promise you that, he said. Macon County State's Attorney Jay Scott said Monday that Dawson is the only person charged in the case. Attempts to reach Macon County Animal Control for comment were unsuccessful on Monday, a state holiday for Lincoln's birthday. Dawson does not dispute another part of the allegations against him, which said he dragged the doghouse containing the dog to another location. Dawson said when he found out the dog was dead, he did not know what to do with the body. He insisted he was not anticipating a charge of animal cruelty and was not trying to cover it up. To be honest, I never knew enough about animal cruelty to even know I could actually be punished, he said. I was just in shock and did not know what to do with her. Dawson said he does not blame the friend looking after the dog for what happened and said it was a tragic result of intensely cold weather at the time. Asked if the friend had been cruel to his pet, he replied, "No, no, no, they are not that type of people, man. They were looking out for me. They helped me, and I appreciate that." And that concludes that article. We have a few briefs. The first one comes out of Latham. Boil order announced. The village of Latham is under a boil order until further notice due to a water main break, officials said Monday. Dan Wickline of the Latham Water Department said the break happened near North Macon Street and East 4th Street about 10 a.m. The leak has been fixed, he said, and cold weather is thought to be the cause of the main break. Barricades have been placed around the site of the break, but Wickline said all roads near the area are open to traffic. And next, out of Springfield, Madigan consultant fired. Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan has dismissed a longtime political consultant after an investigation found he sent inappropriate text messages to a colleague. Madigan identified the consultant as Kevin Quinn in a statement on Monday. Madigan attorney Heather Weir, Vaught, says the woman is a political consultant not employed by Madigan. Vaught says Quinn texted the woman seeking a date in 2016. There were fewer than a dozen texts, but they continued after the woman told Quinn she was not interested. Campaign records show that Madigan-affiliated political committees have paid Quinn $513,000 since 1999. The woman came forward in November as Madigan was pressing legislation to clearly define sexual harassment as a state ethics code violation. And that concludes the briefs. This week at the Herald and Review, calendar today, Fantastic Foxes Minicamp, 9:30 to 10:30 a.m., Rock Springs Nature Center, $6, ages 1 to 5. And on Wednesday, beginner two-step class, 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. at the Prairie Land Dance Club, Iliopolis, $20 per couple. This is a four-week class. And on Thursday, continuing the conversation on racial taboo, 6 p.m., Decatur Public Library. And that is all that's on the Herald and Review calendar. And from your money, Walgreens expanding disposal kiosks, Decatur's medication drop box at 24-hour Illinois 48 location. This comes out of Bloomington by Paul Sweetsch. The newest weapon in the battle against prescription opioid abuse and misuse of other medicines is an unassuming bin in an increasing number of pharmacies. Walgreens, with several partners, announced Monday that it is expanding its number of safe medication disposal kiosks nationwide from 600 to 1,500. In Illinois, the number is increasing by 40, meaning there will be more than 80 kiosks at Walgreens pharmacies where people can safely and anonymously drop off unused and no longer needed medicines, including prescription opioids, said Marcel Nadoff, Walgreens Regional Healthcare Director. Nadoff made the announcement in front of the kiosk at the 24/7 pharmacy in Walgreens at 1525 North Veterans Parkway, Bloomington. The five other Walgreens stores in Bloomington Normal do not currently have kiosks. In Decatur, the 24-hour Walgreens at 1311 Illinois 48 on the city's west side has a kiosk near its pharmacy. The other four Walgreens stores in Decatur do not have kiosks. Walgreens and its partners were joined at the announcement by U.S. Representative Darren LaHood, Republican from Dunlap, a member of the U.S. House Ways and Means Committee, whose health subcommittee had a hearing last week on the opioid crisis. That is going to conclude our reading for part one of Decatur Herald and Review for today, Tuesday, February 13th, 2018. We are going to take a short break and hope that you will return to listen to us read part two in just a moment.